time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, June 4th, 2019. We have 16 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule, including the first of the Rose Festival Fleet ships coming through Astoria. I thought they were starting tomorrow, but we'll actually have an active-duty U.S. Navy vessel at the port of Astoria today. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves from the northwest 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and northwest swells 6 feet at 9 seconds. Let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 4 inbounders, we have 7 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 5 outbounders. And we have 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is our Rose Festival Fleet ship for the day, the USS Pinckney. She's arriving from offshore, headed for the port of Astoria, and she is part of the Rose Festival Fleet. She'll probably be at the port of Astoria by about 8:30 this morning, so look for a big military gray vessel there at the port. She is a guided missile destroyer in the U.S. Navy, and usually what happens when these Navy ships come in and stop at the port of Astoria is that they stay here for the day and overnight. And so you may see some sailors around town visiting businesses in town, which is always a lovely thing to see. So that is our first Rose Festival Fleet vessel, and probably, well, perhaps the only one that's going to stop here. Tomorrow we should see some Canadian vessels coming through, but they'll be passing by on their way up to Portland. And eventually the USS Pinckney will go up there too and be available on the Willamette River for tours during the weekend. Next inbound is the ATB, the Dublin Sea, arriving from Ferndale, headed for Portland. She's a petroleum carrier. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 a.m. You might see her in Portland by 5:30 p.m. The Great Cosmos is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's going upriver to pick up wheat. She'll arrive in the anchorage at about 12:30 p.m. The Core Leader OL is arriving from Los Angeles. She's headed for Vancouver. Her cargo is copper concentrate, I think. She will pass Astoria in the early hours of Wednesday morning, or maybe a little bit after midnight, and then arrive in the port of Vancouver by about 6:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. In our Astoria anchorages, we'll start with the downtown waterfront off Astoria. The Belle Forest is headed for Portland to pick up potash. She probably left very early in the morning and arrived in Portland by about 6:30 this morning. Then we have some others that are just awaiting orders. The Sasebo Ace, the Peak Proteus, the Captain Matios, and the Ultra Tiger are in the off the downtown waterfront in Astoria. And at the Rice Island Anchorage, we have the Rich Future and the Simona Star. Well, yesterday on the ship report, I talked with you about the wheat ship, the Gorgoy Picos, that ran aground on the Columbia River on Sunday. I speculated that she might have had engine trouble, which is often the cause. It's kind of an odd sort of a thing, but apparently cargo ships, especially older ones, can have spontaneous engine failure in the sense that the engine just shuts down and stops working, and then they have to start it up again. So that is often a reason why a ship will suddenly run aground, because they're because when a ship runs aground, it is suddenly unable to steer. And on the Columbia, where there are at least 100 course changes between Portland and Astoria on the river, it's a very windy river. The chances are, at any given moment, a cargo ship that is either going up and down the river is going to be in the middle of a turn. So this may have been the case with this vessel, but the problem, I found out a little bit more about it. In this particular case, the problem was not that, even though that was a very likely cause. The problem was that there was the rudder stopped responding to commands, and so the rudder was suddenly not operational, and that also caused the ship to be unable to steer. So now, if you are not a boater or somebody who's had much to do with ships, you may be saying, what is a rudder? So I thought it'd be an interesting opportunity to talk about rudders and how important they are on ships and on boats of many kinds. In fact, even kayaks sometimes have rudders, depending on how they're rigged up. So a rudder is something that is out of sight, under the water, below the water level. It's located at the stern or the very back of the boat, the ship, underwater, at the very bottom of the very back end of the vessel. It's a rectangular flat piece of metal, or sometimes on smaller sailboats, wood, that is hinged vertically so that it can swing left or right. So it's kind of like a door that is attached to the aftermost point on the lowest part of the ship towards its rear end, so to speak. And it's located behind the propeller, so the water that is being moved by the propeller is running across that rudder. And the propellers, of course, are driven by the engines. Now, the angle the rudder makes to the water, which is controlled by mechanisms inside the ship that up on the bridge where people steer and control things, it can be a wheel, it can also be a joystick, so that you can steer the ship from one place to another. It's usually done hydraulically on ships, and using that ship's wheel and apparatus that I mentioned. Now, the pressure of the water and the flow of the water across the rudder helps to steer the ship and can cause it to turn left or right. Now, if something happens to break that connection between the helmsman and the rudder, usually on a ship it's a mechanical or a hydraulic problem, the ship will suddenly not be able to steer. And as I talked about yesterday, when you can't steer a ship, it tends to keep going in the direction it was headed when it lost steering. And because ships have incredible mass and momentum when they're moving, they are just hard to turn anyway. And so this is what seems to have happened in this case. Now, when you think about propellers on, say, a small motorboat, kind of small, maybe even a small sailboat, kind of a small thing, on a cargo ship, the propeller can be 30 feet high, for example, or larger. Now, the rudders on these big ships are even taller than that. So we're talking about something on kind of a grand scale, really, compared to what you would think of on a smaller recreational vessel. On a small sailboat, the rudder could be just a few feet long. So the rudder is sized to the magnitude of the vessel so that it's big enough to be able to control it. So losing your rudder, as you might imagine, is a pretty serious problem for any kind of a vessel, and it can happen quite abruptly, usually when something breaks, and there can be a lot of pressure on a rudder depending on the conditions in which the vessel is operating in. In smaller sailboats, rudders can be operated with a tiller that's like a long bar, almost like a long stick, so to speak, that allows the helmsperson to manually turn the rudder one way or another that's mounted on the back of the boat. It actually acts like a large paddle in the water, and if you've ever paddled a canoe or a kayak, you know that you can steer it with a paddle held just right in the water. So something happened with this ship, and it was stuck aground until the high tide allowed it to float free very early in the morning today, yesterday rather. And while I thought it was heading out to sea, it actually went to Longview, and that makes much more sense. And there at a berth at the port of Longview, it probably underwent a Coast Guard inspection of the hull. Because when a ship, especially a heavy ship, hits bottom like that, ships are meant to float, not to rest on the, to have a whole lot of weight resting on one spot on their bottom. So whenever this happens, before you send the ship out to undergo incredible stresses at sea in any kind of weather, the ship needs to be inspected to make sure that there isn't a crack in the hull or some other problem is happening. So the ship went to Longview, probably had inspections of its hull by the Coast Guard before she could be cleared to leave. And now, apparently, if I'm correct, she's on the schedule to leave. She seems to be showing up on the schedule to leave Longview today. So that means that really nothing bad happened to her in this mishap. And that probably means that the ship gently grounded in shallower water on sand, which is certainly possible here, and a very lucky thing, because some places on the river bottom are rocky, and that could be a whole different thing in terms of damaging the hull and perhaps leaking fuel into the water. So in this case, it seems as though that did not happen. That's a really wonderful and lucky thing. So a good outcome to a potentially serious problem that happened to a ship on the river. Not being able to steer is a serious problem, and I can only imagine the nerve-wracking time that the pilot and the officers and the people on board that ship had before they got things under control. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.